Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. The statement is made, I read just a moment ago. The Hebrews writer says there, let us lay aside every weight. And notice this statement, it's definitive. It says, the sin which doth so easily set us aside or beset us. I want to focus on that for just a moment. What is that sin that doth so easily beset us? The Bible here, the book of Hebrews defines it. It tells us what it is. But I want to show you, but I want to back up again to help you understand the context of what this book is driving toward. If you go back to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, verses 38 and 39, you'll notice again that the Hebrew Christians, Jewish in their background, family, heavily saturated in the Jewish culture, pressure was immense. They were likely being forced or told in many ways to go back to their Jewish roots and practice Judaism from the Old Testament that had been fulfilled. And they were drawing back. And the Hebrews writer here says that my soul, in verse 38, shall have no pleasure in him. And he's quoting from a principle of the Old Testament. Talking about God has no pleasure in that which shrinks back. And then he says, you're not of them. You should not be of them. Again, keep in mind the statement, the sin which does so easily beset us. I want you to back up to chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, we're getting closer to the answer because the sin which doth so easily beset us has already been defined. It's already been stated in this book. I'll give you the hint, it's at the end of chapter 3, but don't go there yet. In Hebrews chapter 6, notice here where it says in verse 2 and 3 and 4 of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment, and this will we do if God permit. He's talking about the things people were going back and doing. There were washings and laying on of hands, and they were repeating the doctrines and teachings that they needed to have grown past. And he's talking about growing and maturing. In verse 1, he said we shouldn't have to lay the foundations of repentance all over again. We shouldn't have to constantly remind you that you can't live the old man of sin. You have to have put that old man off. But how many times, like Paul in Romans 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's asking that in a rhetorical sense because apparently people are wanting to go back, and the Hebrews writer's addressing the same thing. You're going back. Well, again, we're getting closer to the idea of what that sin is that thus so easily beset us. That means all of us suffer with it. All of us are struggling with it. It's the same old problem that everyone has. Guess what that means? None of us here are special. We all are suffering similar and like temptations. I'm getting you closer to the idea of what the Hebrews writer is saying. But what strikes me is in verse 6 of Hebrews 6, if you fall away to renew them again to repentance, do you think that you can crucify Christ all over again? Do you think he's going to come back and repeat? That's a powerful statement in verse 6. Because when you act this way and you go back into the world or you shrink back on what you've grown to and you give up on all of that and try to go back to reset, that gets harder and harder. And that's why a lot of people quit and they don't ever come back. I would suggest unto you that that guilt that swallowed up Judas Iscariot after he betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver, the wages of a slave, he couldn't get over that guilt and he went and committed suicide. That's terrible. And the Hebrews writer is warning us and saying, don't do that. Don't be like them. You're not of them that shrink back. And so he says, it is impossible. It gets to a point, it's impossible to renew you to repentance. And it's as if you are trying to hope in the Christ to come again and be crucified. And you think it's going to happen again? You think God, you know what that reminds me of? The Catholic and their rosary beads. That's a second chance gospel, or their doctrines of purgatory. They believe that murderers and their children that died in sin, and they know that they died in sin, or adultery, they believe they can have a second chance and be redeemed in the afterlife. Well, Hebrews 6:6 says that's impossible. That's just not going to happen. That's the principle. But let's get to the passage. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4 is where the text is answered. Look at what he says in Hebrews 3 verse 12. He says, talking about the Old Testament Israelites that tempted him, God, that is, and proved him and saw my works for 40 years in verse 9. What is he talking about? He calls it in the day of provocation when they were tempting God. Wandering in the wilderness. That's the book of Exodus and Numbers. And that's that first 40 generation. I was grieved with that generation. You remember in verse 38 of Hebrews 10? My heart has no pleasure in them. Right here, he's talking about that Israelite generation. He says, I was grieved with that generation. They do always err in their, where's the location of the error? In their heart. They have not known my ways. How many people have been in the Lord's church all their life and they still don't know the way of the Lord? And how do you know that? As Mike says, fruit don't lie. You keep acting the same way. You keep repeating the same old behaviors. You're not glorifying God. That's not faith. And so he says in verse 12, take heed lest that same kind of heart exist in you. And what does he call it? A heart of what? A heart of unbelief. That's the sin. That's the answer to the sin. Which does, it's a heart of unbelief. I can prove that. Look at the end of chapter 4. Oh, I'm sorry, the end of chapter 3. Why could they not enter in Hebrews 3 verse 19? Because of what reason? Unbelief. Why will you not go to heaven if you don't go to heaven? Why? Because of your heart of disbelief, which is then actually disobedience. Faith and obedience must be tied together. You can't just say, I believe. James says that the devils believe and tremble. But you have to have a faith that believes to the act of obedience every day of your life. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, that's the sin that doth so easily beset it. Isn't it? Think about it. Isn't it? It's faith that just really causes you. You start to doubt yourself. You doubt God. And think about it. Does God doubt you? No, God doesn't doubt you. You doubt yourself. Do you doubt God? Why? If Abraham could sacrifice, we learned why Abraham was able to do that. He believed in that promise. He knew God wasn't a liar. Brethren, I'm telling you, that's a faith that's victorious that John writes about in 1 John chapter 5. But without that faith, it is impossible to please him. In Hebrews 11, verse 6. But that's the sin which doth so easily beset us. And many people will lose most, I suppose, as Jesus said, many there be that go into the broad way. Few there be that find the narrow straight way. The sin that keeps us out of heaven is that sin of unbelief, a heart of disbelief. And I hope that that's not us here. So please, grab on to faith. We need more of it. You'll need it all the days of your life. It's what will sustain you. And it's what will save you. If you by faith will obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God and have not repented of your sins, and you're ready to do so and confess Christ before men publicly, and be immersed, baptized into water for the remission of your sins, you can obey the gospel by faith and be saved this very night. But that's the beginning. You have to keep on keeping on and not shrink back with a heart of disbelief. And so that's the invitation of the Lord. If we can help you grow in your faith, then why don't you let us know then as together we stand and we sing, won't you come?